You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
We got a lot to talk about today, so the first part, what we're going to talk about is just, I have an outline for you, so I know Phil is very high-tech and you get all this digital stuff, but I'm going to, hey, what's happening?
Who's kidding this?
You just want to check it out? Am I doing all right?
Yeah, all right.
So, but I have some handouts for you, kind of like an outline of what I'm going to talk about here today. So we can just pass these out to everybody, that'd be great. So you can follow along, write on it, it's yours, do whatever you want. It should be enough for everybody to have one. We don't need to have anybody fight here. No, everybody can have one.
All right, come on.
So that's kind of the outline of what I'm going to do today. I'm going to say a lot more than what's on that sheet, but just so you'll know, that's kind of where we're going to go with it. I'm kind of old school. I'd like for you to walk away with something you can look at it and feel and think about.
Come on, bro.
I know I've talked and shared at our Solid Rock a couple of times and got a chance to see and meet a lot of you guys there. But this is going to be a little different than Solid Rock. So you're not going to... A lot of principles are the same, but I'm not going to tell you the same old thing I told you there. Not the same one, but I mean, it was good. But I'll just wait and kind of install us, everybody get their paper. Okay, now, there's only one bad thing about handing out paper, because everybody started looking at it, and nobody paid attention to you. So, I'm going to have to make sure I get your attention as we're going. As we're going through this. Now for me, I used to think I wanted successful kids.
All right.
And in a way, I still do. But many times, you know, especially when you're talking to other parents and other people, and somehow you start talking about your kids and talk about all the things they've done, and I wanted to do that because I wanted the people to think, man, they really know what they're doing with their kids. And I would get all excited about it and sharing about them dancing and ballet and different things like that. But then when I would get in the car going home or sitting at home and I just have some downtime, my perspective changes. And I stop thinking about all those things and I think about, you know what? I just really want my kids to be faithful. I just want my kids to be faithful to God, faithful to whoever they marry, faithful to God's plan for their life.
Come on.
And I started thinking about it, and the thing that comes to mind is that the stuff that makes you successful doesn't always make you faithful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how athletic or how artistic they were, those things don't keep you faithful. And I'm thinking, what is it that can help them when times get tough? You know, I don't sit there and think, you know, I don't wake up and I don't really feel like reading my Bible today. Oh, I used to play college football, so I should read my Bible. Mm. The things we accomplished won't really help you stay faithful to things there. So my perspective of what do I really need for my kids really changed. And I believe that's why I talked about it in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
Because when you are still, that's when the perception comes clear for you. That's when you get a real grip on what's really going on in the world. And so the things we're going to talk about here and share with you here today is for the principles of parenting.
Come on.
So your kids may be at different stages, but no matter if the stage we're talking about doesn't apply to you directly right now, we still need to learn, because just as it says in Galatians, we need to carry one another's burdens. So it may not be you right now, but you can pass on something to somebody else. You can help them. I remember the day when I used to see people in church, somebody's kids was running down there and somebody else would grab them, pick them up, take them to them, have a little discussion with them, sit them down, and everything was fine. Kind of the way times have progressed is like, don't say nothing to that kid, just let them run around.
Yeah.
No, we know how they are, that's just how the kids are. How you know, that's how their parents are. Yeah. I mean, you just look at them.
Come on.
And we don't really get involved in each other's lives like we used to.
Mm.
And then we wonder, well, what happened?
Mm.
Well, it's important for us just to take a look and see, we've got to help each other.
Yeah.
We've got to help each other. In 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12, for you know that we dealt with each other as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who called you into his kingdom and glory. first thing I want to talk about here is we got to have a clear objective. Verse 12 says, a life worthy of God. It is so important that as we're parenting, we're helping our kids to have a life that's worthy of God. In Deuteronomy 4, it talks about, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You know, our primary purpose in parenting has to do with our children's relationship with God. Now, there's many different styles of parenting because kids are different. I have two great daughters, and they're both very different. Very, very different. The way we raise them is different. And you guys know, what you do with one kid is not necessarily gonna work with the next kid. My oldest child, Lily, I would spank that girl, and she'd get in line. Grace, my second child, I would spank her, and she would look at me, and one day she said, that didn't even hurt. That just made me mad. What do you mean that didn't hurt? It didn't work for her. For her, if we put her in timeout, which I thought was only for television shows, put her in timeout, then all of a sudden, her whole attitude changed, because she didn't like being alone. She didn't like being away from somebody. So that's what worked with her. My other one, you put her all alone, she'd be happy. I'm cool with that. I'm just gonna sleep. No big deal. So kids are different, and we know this, but here's the thing. As it says in James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. You're gonna hear some things today, but the real issue is, what are you gonna do when you leave? Because you may hear something that's great, you may hear something that's repetitive. It may be repetitive because we're not putting into practice the things that we need to do. You know, one of the major things is, what should we do as parents in parenting our kids? Well, first of all, the two parents gotta be on the same page. And this is so important. We went from like Alaska to Africa in here. It is hot. Woo, that was good.
All right, we got it.
And here's the thing. When I grew up, my family, we just spanked, we whooped everybody. You know what I'm saying? Spanked, we got whooped. My mama will whoop us with anything she get her hands on. I got beat with a cereal box for me. I mean, it was like tricks, silly rabbit. What's happening? All right, we're good. So I grew up in a place where it was a lot of physical discipline with us. Now my wife, on the other hand, they grew up and they talked about everything with the kids. Your daddy's baby, you know, spanking. But they would like to discuss things with you. Let's sit down and talk about it. So when it came time for our kids, I'm like, no, we gotta whoop that out of them. And she's like, no, we have to explain. Let's hug them a little bit. Let's Eskimo kiss their nose. I'm like, that ain't gonna work. We need to whoop them. So we had to come to grips together. Okay, my way was the best way, and your way is the best way. So we need to do it the biblical way together. And this is where a lot of times the parenting falls apart, because it's not unified in how are we going to handle this situation. Because we need to handle it, not just mom or dad. And so that's an important thing for us to realize. We're going to talk about parenting styles. You want to say anything?
Yeah, I think the community part was really big for us. The unity part was really big for us. It would cause a lot of fights or resentment, and I think the kids could sense that and feel that. And it really kind of it makes it unproductive what we're doing because we're so distracted. And I think one of the things for me was being willing to follow Maurice in times, even when I felt like he wasn't totally right. To trust him, because one of the biggest things is he would be disciplining and I would disregard him or do the opposite in front of the kids. And he felt very disrespected by that. And then we had our own issues to deal with after that. So we learn to respect one another, to compromise with one another, and talk about it, but just give the other parent a chance. And if something doesn't go right, trust God that you can work through, you can go back, but I think not always just trying to be the right parent. I'm doing this right, my way is right. We're looking for the compromise, and you guys working it out, not in front of the kids, but later. You can always discuss it later, but give that one parent a chance. Don't disrespect them in front of the kids.
Amen.
This is a little fun illustration here. On the front page, it's called a free range parenting. Just have fun. Nobody wants to kidnap you. Go do whatever you want to do. The bottom part is, you know, okay, let's go home. The kid's upset. No, you're mean. I'm not leaving. And then it just kind of gets embarrassed. So I was like, oh, my son is so funny. He can stay as he's tearing up the department store. Authoritarian parent. So how are your grades? What are your grades like? I guess you can say they're okay. I have 3 B's, 2 C's, and 1 D. What is okay with A's, B's, and C's? What? You better get in your room, go to your room, study. You're grounded till you get that C's and D's up, young lady. And then she's off. So she just focused on the negatives instead of all that was going on. At the bottom, Billy, it's time for dinner. Billy's still playing this game. Mom comes in, I said now, she's screaming, Chuck, get in there. You know, you've been working hard all day, get home and cook. Good kids better come eat when they're supposed to eat. It gets you upset. There's different kind of parenting styles here. And so we're gonna talk about these styles. And so what I wanna do is not cause a fight and argument between y'all,
all right,
but to talk about these things and then just take a little self-evaluation. What kind of parenting style do we have? And whether it's one or the other, we want to try to focus on what's best. Again, all children are different, but we've got to come together on the parenting style. The first one is authoritative. These are parents that have high expectations for their children, but they temper these expectations with understanding and support for their children as well. So the day is structured. They have planned bedtime, they have household rules. There are consequences for breaking the rules. A child has and understands these reasonable expectations that they have for their behavior. It allows us to have a healthy and open line of communication with our child, both parents. And at this point, in this kind of authoritative style of parenting, the child can feel like they can talk to you about anything without fear of negative consequences or harsh judgment. So an authoritative parent is not a bad parent. It's not a bad thing because they're structured for the kid. And the kid knows their structure. The kid knows I have to stay within my boundaries and things are gonna be great, successful. You're teaching them things for life in the future. Authoritative is, again, not a dictator, but authoritative where, okay, this is how the household is going to run and everybody knows what's doing it and they feel secure because there's an obvious plan for how we're gonna do things. And then we have the second one. You wanna talk about it? There's a couple of chairs up here. Somebody wanna come up. Right.
The second style is neglectful. Neglectful parenting is unlike the other styles in that parents often go to this style of parenting in response to the child's behavior. So if your child is difficult or if your child pushes you away, we back off. We're like, oh no, I don't want to make waves with the child. I'm fearful, I'm afraid of how my child's going to react. I'm afraid of making a mistake. And it's really important that we recognize that this is a style or others recognize it so we can get the help that we need. And the characteristics of this is a lack of care for the child's needs, emotional, physical, intellectual, and spiritual. Lack of knowledge or understanding of what's going on in your child's life. What's going on in their heart? What are they thinking about? What are the challenges that they're facing on a daily basis? Homes should provide a safe place for the child to share what they're going through. Leaving child at home alone for long periods of time, multiple times. And I think for ministry people or being in the church or the ministry, that's a big one too. Because for me, being in the ministry or involved in a ministry, sometimes I would be so focused on ministry that I would not put my child as a priority. And it's not saying to neglect what God expects for us to do within the church and the work that He's called for us to do. But we have to remember, our kid is number one. It's God, our marriage, and then our children.
Right.
Because that is an important ministry. God has given us these kids. And not knowing our children's friends and teachers, really being involved in their world. What's going on with those friends? What's going on with the teachers? And this style is very damaging. And it leaves the child with no foundation of trust. So we really have to make our kids a priority. And one thing I was going to say is children need to know that they are priority. And I even remember my kids telling me, wait a minute, Mom. You know, this was when I was, they were very young. I was doing so many things. I was so busy. And I would put them off. And they would say, Mom, wait a minute. You know, I feel like I'm not as important. You have all these other busy things that you're doing. And it happened one time when I canceled on something that I had promised my daughter. And, you know, she really felt neglected. Or we think, oh, they're okay. They can handle this. And, you know, but we don't really know what's going on in their heads and in their minds.
You know, that's something that I learned a long time ago is that whenever my child comes up to me, I will stop and pay attention to what they need at the time. Now, they can't be rude and just walk up and start talking while I'm talking. They need to understand, they need to be respectful when they approach me. But at the same time, there's nothing I'm doing that's not more important than stopping to talk to them. And that was challenging because there's times that I'm tired, there's times I just don't feel like it. But then when they come in, it's like, you know what? I need to understand they are my gift from God, my responsibility from God, and I have to give to them. And that's one of the things about parenting is that there's so many times that the best thing we have to do is humble ourselves and learn what's best for our kids. And so this is one of the things that is neglectful. It's sad to say, but sometimes I even see it in our congregation. Because even in our kids' kingdom classes, sometimes there are visitors' kids that are more well-behaved than our kids in the church. There are times that kids in the church are running around and the parents are having fellowship and their kids are up on stage doing cartwheels and backflips and they're just like la 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 talking about stuff, but it's like, I don't know, even at that point, shift your body or something where you can kind of see your kids as you're talking. We just have to be more mindful and not neglectful of our kids.
Amen.
Nobody intends, I'm just not, I don't care about the kids, let them do their thing. That's not what I'm saying. But it's at the same time, we can kind of get caught up in our own world that we forget what their world is like. So that's just something to think about. Now, we're not here to down everybody. I don't even know your kids. The only thing I'm coming here to talk about the kids.
That's right. Come on.
I'm just sharing about what we see in our own world of things. If it applies, it applies. But
one thing I was going to say about that, too, that I've learned over the years is that it is God's will for us to train our children.
Yeah.
And we have to obey God and also teach our children to obey God. And sometimes if we don't really like that authority, then we kind of pass it on to our kids. Because we don't like authority, and so we don't think it's important for them either. And that's really not a good lesson to teach our kids. Because they won't listen to you or respect you, and they definitely won't listen or obey God.
Come on.
Another style, and again, you may be in one of these styles, or you may not. I'm not saying you have to be, or you may be in all of them at different times. It's just different. But if you can't recognize where you are, you can never change it.
Yeah.
So these are just some things that kind of help us look and evaluate our parenting. Permissive, also known as indulgent parenting. This is a very harmful style of parenting. Responsive, but not demanding. They're lenient while trying to avoid confrontation. There's a few rules that they set, so they have some rules, but those rules are inconsistent and mostly don't even exist. Basically, they avoid conflict as much as possible. They desire to be the child's peer, best friend, instead of parent. Some parents use this method as an extreme opposite approach to the authoritarian upbringing, while others use this because they're afraid that it will upset their child. Often bribes the child to do things. Children crave structure and guidance from a parent. You know, sometimes it's like, because of my upbringing, this is how I'm going to function with my kids. Mm-hmm. My dad, my mom was so strict on me that, you know what, I am never gonna be like that with my kid. They have the freedom to do what they want. Mm-hmm. Just go do it. And that's that free range parenting. No, nobody can kidnap you. Just go out, do what you want. Have fun. We gotta think about this. You know, in Kansas City, I worked with the FBI, and we did more of the human trafficking. And Kansas City is the second in the nation in human trafficking. Because there's so many different highways from Kansas City to go to six different states. So they get somebody and they're across the highway, the border, boom, just like that. And it's a done deal, nothing you can do. They cross lines. There are so many people that get abducted. And they think, you know, it's just these kids that are just kind of drugs and all that. No, it's some kids that are upset with their families and they just leave and they get caught up with stuff and then it's too late. It is so important for us to realize we have to know what's going on with kids.
Yeah. Amen.
We can't just let them do things. They don't need a friend. They need a parent that's going to help them. If we think we're going to be our child's friend because we're scared they're going to rebel and we'll lose them, that's not what God says.
Mm.
And see, that's where it comes down to our faith. Because if we think we're going to lose them because we're doing it the way God says, then we're not trusting God. God tells us to guide these kids in the way they should go when they are young. And even when they do mess up, they know where to go back to. They know where to go. We have to have that much faith in God that if I keep doing it God's way, yeah, they may get upset, but you know what? They're still going to be grateful and they can trust what's going on. But we cannot have a permissive kind of style. And I know all these laws and rules going on now in America. Ooh, I ain't gonna mess with my kid. They'll call social services on me.
So true.
You know what? Let them pick up the phone. Let them dial social services. And by the time they get Okay. Is that recording? Can we edit that?
My youngest daughter, Grace, who's 16, when she was about one, we found out that she was profoundly deaf. And we didn't know for a whole year that she wasn't hearing or, you know, acquiring language skills that really start from birth. And so that put her really behind. It was very scary. It was terrifying. Because we had no idea what to do, you know, just really threw us off, and it was devastating to us. And, you know, I prayed, God, please help her to hear. We got her hearing aids, and by two, she was able to get a cochlear implant. But still, at the same time, I would compare her to all these other kids her age who were talking, they had this vocabulary, and she could say mama, dada, and maybe baba. That was it. And so, you know, it was a scary time. And once she got her cochlears, we started something called, we did this therapy with her that really, really was very hands-on, and we would go a few times a week. And basically, we had to teach her basic language skills, like what is a cow, what is a cat. The cow says moo, the cat says meow, the duck says quack, like basic things that two-year-olds already know. And it was very hard. And one thing that was happening between me and Grace, I was becoming very permissive with her. And I was like, well, she doesn't know, she doesn't understand. So I can't really discipline her, and I can't really. And so I remember auditory verbal was the name of the therapy. And so Wendy DeMoss was a godsend. And she was her auditory verbal therapist. And Wendy was really tough. And, you know, I was kind of letting Grace get away with some things, and she wasn't having it in her classroom. And so I remember she told her, she's like, do you want your daughter to be known as the little deaf girl? And, oh, make excuse for her because she doesn't know any better because she's deaf. She's like, you can do that, and everybody will feel sorry for her and feel bad for her. Or you can help her to overcome all these obstacles that she has in her life. And that was like a wake-up call for me. Because she would not take it from Grace, and she would say, okay, Grace, if you're not going to act the way you should with us,
you cannot participate. So we're going to turn your chair around, and me and your mom, we're going to have this conversation. We're going to play, but you can't until you learn how to follow the rules here and play the way you should play nicely and listen. And those practices really helped Grace. Mm-hmm. Another example, we would go to the grocery store and Gracie would just run like crazy all through the store. And I'm like, I can't control her in the store. She's just, you know, she doesn't hear me. And she's like, well, you know what you do? You turn around and you leave and say, okay, you can't sit in the cart today. We're not going to do the groceries. I say make groceries. I'm from Louisiana. Make groceries. We're not going to make groceries today. We're going to go home. And she loved the grocery store. And she would be shocked, like, what? We're going to go home and eat this? Because you can't sit in the cart. So you don't get to just run crazy. And so those were some major lessons for me. And I'm going to share more about Grace. But that was a wake-up call for me because it's not that I felt sorry for her, but I just thought, okay, this is the best we can do. But I was so glad that I had someone to help me, to guide me through having some expectations for her.
And now here's the thing, real quick before I go to the next part. Because we were so engaged in our daughter Grace, who was deaf, that by the time it came for Lily, our oldest daughter, to study the Bible, one of the things she had to sit down and confess to us is a lot of anger because she felt like we cared more about Grace than her. Even though she was deaf, we were, you know, you had to spend time trying to get her going, but it didn't feel like that to our oldest daughter. She felt neglected. And so that was like a wake-up call. We're like, what are you talking about? You know, in reality, that wasn't the case, but yet, that's what she felt, and you can't ignore those feelings. And I thought, man, that is just something that we've got to really learn from. And realize we need to make sure we're still making time for our other child who may not have those challenges, that she can still know we care and we love her as much. That's important. You know, it says in a scientific journal of early adolescence, it was found that, and ignore some of my typos, y'all, it was kind of late. It was found that teens with permissive parents are 3 times more likely to engage in heavy drug, alcohol consumption. This is likely due to their lack of consequences for their behavior at home. If we don't have consequences at home, they think there's not consequences in the world. They can just go do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. And that's how they indulge in more stuff there. So we're going to move on.
The next style is authoritarian, also called strict parenting. This is characterized by parents who are demanding but not responsive. Allow for little open dialogue between parent and child. Expect child to follow strict set of rules and expectations to be followed no matter what. Parent offers no explanation for rules other than because I said so. Parent gives child few choices and decisions about the child's own life. Parent utilizes punishment as a means of getting your child to do what you ask. Key, it's important to balance out the provided structure with open communication, so the child knows exactly why it's important for them to follow the rules placed on them. And this is, this is my default mode. Contrary to what Maurice thinks, I thought, I grew up in a very authoritarian household, not authoritarian. And I rebelled, and it alienated me from my parents. And it also helped me to be sort of codependent on them. Like, I really didn't know how to think for myself because it wasn't explained. It was just like, you have to do this, and you do this, and you do that. And I think that's why I kind of ended up being a little bit more permissive because I wanted to do the opposite of what my parents did. And this can also be very damaging as well. A lot of times the kids feel unloved. I think I felt unloved. I felt, nobody really cared about what I thought or my voice or what my feelings were. And I had a lot of that conflict with my older daughter because she's very strong-willed, very opinionated, just a stubborn kid, okay? She was a hard kid. And so I always would go back to, you just need to obey and do what I said, but it did not work with her. It just wasn't gonna work. And it wasn't until learning to listen to her and hear how she's feeling about things, because it was more out of anger, frustration for me, and not a unconditional love for her. Because I was just mad, oh, she's disrespecting me, she's not gonna do that. And it just really, our relationship grew to be troubled.
One of the things I think, just don't let your upbringing cause you to do things with your kid that's unbiblical. You gotta remember, our parents didn't have Google and YouTube to look at. They couldn't Google how do you potty train a kid. I mean, they didn't have all the resources we have on today. So we can't just, you know, they were just harsh, mean, unloving, unwise. You know what, they had a rough time in their upbringing. But they did the best they could with what they had, which is what we're trying to do, the best we can with what we have.
Yep.
So again, these are four styles. You'll have time to talk about it, but I think that would be good though, if you could just talk to, you know, your spouse, okay, which one do we have? Which one do you think I have? Because we're always gonna think we have a certain one. But which one do you think I have? Now we did this in the Bronx and we had to have a little marriage costume with about four people.
Right.
We're gonna do that today. So just make it a casual conversation about what do you think you have. We're gonna move on here, speed up a little bit more. Okay, so if you do have one of these, how do you overcome it? The Bible, that's how we overcome it. Taking it back to God.
Amen.
So in an authoritative parenting situation, remember this, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, it's important that we hear each other, but that as we're sharing things, there's a whole bunch of other ears listening to what's going on. The way I talk to Lauren, my kids hear everything. And sometimes I'll preach a sermon on Sunday, and before I get home, Dad, you remember what you said when you were preaching? I mean, they hold me more accountable than anybody.
Right.
And that's important. If we get into an argument, and then they see that, and we walk away and resolve it later on, we got to go back and make sure they know we resolved it. Because all they see is an argument. So in their mind, Mom and Dad are about to get a divorce. We ain't getting a divorce, but they just see argue, instead of realize, you know what, we did have an argument, we talked about it, everything's good. We got to leave them with security and not in doubt.
Yep.
Overcoming neglect, Sam feels neglectful parenting. Again, Psalms 119, verse 16, I delight in your decrees, I will not neglect your word. Just as much as we would not neglect God, we cannot neglect God's gifts to us, our kids. It is so important to look at, like, these are God's kids that he's given me to take care of, to raise according to his will. I cannot neglect what he's given me. Permissive parenting, Hebrews 12:11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Whether you feel like it or not, we must discipline our kids. And again, there's different ways. You gotta figure out which way is for my kid. But if you don't discipline your kid, you're doing so much damage for that child. And then authoritarian parenting. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the instruction and training of the Lord. We got to make sure, like I'm saying, my oldest daughter, we were exhausting her without even knowing it. This is where just those conversations come in. In the second half, we're going to talk about practicals, what to do, which will help. But we've got to have those conversations because we were totally clueless that our oldest daughter felt neglected because we were investing and trying to help our other child. And so that's something just to keep in mind.
Yeah. I was just going to share some practical things as far as overcoming the neglecting and permissive. Some things that we try to do, we're very involved with our children's school. Their activities that they're involved in, their teachers, knowing the principal, being in the PTA. ministry activities, very important. That we don't just drop our kids off, but that becomes a part of us too. That is an important ministry. Each stage that we're in, we're investing into that ministry. If it's kids' kingdom, you are investing in kids' kingdom. If it's preteen, teens, college ministry, that you stay involved and you have input and you know what's going on. Also, their spiritual life. Don't neglect their spiritual life nor their emotional and social life. Just knowing who their friends are. Because if you don't have the influence, on them, someone else will.
Right.
So you need to be that kind of influence. And your children want, they want you to. And I was going to share, Leslie and I go back a long way. And she was my discipling partner and when I went into singles. And actually, I had been married and divorced. And I was not doing well, I was struggling. But Leslie never gave up on me. Like, sometimes she would not leave me alone. And I remember there was a time like, please stop following me, leave me alone, stop having me. I wanna just get away. But she would not let me go, even though I tried to push her away and wanted to go the other way and, you know, had many struggles and could have left God's kingdom. I wanna thank her for that. And that's how we have to be with our kids, persistent, not give up on them. Have faith that, you know, I'm gonna do this. It can be hard, but I'm not, we're in this together all the way. So that's, she's an example for me, and that's how we have to be with our kids as well, to love them that much.
So to kind of wrap up the first section of what we're talking about, after being in youth ministry for 20 years, here are some observations I have
for
church parents
and
kids. Now, one of the things we do in the Bronx that we've done for years and years that I pray will go throughout the whole New York City church is when a kid becomes a disciple as a teenager, that you have a family counting of the cost. In other words, when my kids are there, then they sit down with me, my wife, everybody in the household, even if they're not disciples, everybody in the household sits down with the person that's studying, count the cost. We ask them questions. What can mom do to help you stay faithful? What can dad do to help you stay faithful? What do you see dad needs to change at home in order for your household to be more spiritual?
Right.
The stuff that comes up, especially in those that aren't studying. So you got the other siblings sitting there. I know what I want to say. I've had people say, I pray that dad stop cussing at mom all the time. I wish mom would stop drinking at home. And these are so-called Christian people.
Mm.
The kids put it all out.
Wow.
Because it's not just them counting costs, the whole family has a cost. Because for the parents, if your kid becoming a Christian, you're gonna make sure they get where they need to go. You're gonna make sure they're having discipline times. Or you're gonna have quiet time with it. It's the whole family counts the cost. So this is something that I think we really got to implement, because it's not just for that kid, but it's for everybody. And I'll sit there and I've seen parents, they just eyes open up big as the kids start spilling out everything that's going on. And then they're like, are we done yet? No. Part 1, part 2.
Come on.
So here's a few things just to think about. Number one, don't hand your child's faith over to the youth leaders.
Amen. Come on.
What I mean by that, youth leaders, youth and family, they're just a tool to help.
Right. Yes.
They are not responsible for your child's salvation. And I know back in the day, that's how I used to be. Church, save my kid. Youth and family, save my kid. Why aren't they becoming Christian? It's your fault. You're innocent. No, slow your roll. They live with you. They see you more than anybody else.
Yeah.
We, the parent, are responsible for our child's salvation.
Amen. Yep.
Not the, you know, God, all that stuff, but you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
Secondly, your child needs you to care as much about their struggles as their salvation.
Yep.
What I mean is this. Some people are more concerned with, why aren't you going to study the Bible? When are you going to start coming to church and listen to the word? When are you going to, they're so caught up in the child being saved, instead of saying, how is school going for you? You know, how are you feeling about this? You're starting to mature, your body's changing. Having those conversations. Our daughter goes to the school that just had a girl that was stabbed and killed during lunch. And then the next week, two other people got stabbed. And so all that's going on. Well, you know what? They come home, we had to have a sit down talk about this. She didn't even go to school the next day. We want to make sure. And you got to have some conversation.
Yeah.
Because that's dramatic.
Yep.
What we go through in 1 month is like a day for our kids in school,
right?
Because they have so much drama.
Yes.
And so we need to ask, what is it like? How are you doing? Instead of, well, when are you going to study the Bible? Well, what's going on with you? You just rebellious? You going to hell? That's not going to help them. But we got to make sure we are having conversations and learning about them. And that was something that I really needed to change, because I do not like talking. I like preaching, but I don't like to
come on.
Conversation a whole lot. And that's why God gave me two daughters. You're going to learn something. And they like to sit down and talk about everything. I just want the facts. I don't want all the details. I don't care what color their shoes were or what bus you take to the next bus. And you just get there, you know? But I had to learn, you know what? I need to sit there and be patient. I need to have a conversation. It was extremely hard. It still is sometimes for me. Because when they come in all hyped up, I'm just like, oh, Jesus, Lord, help me, help me, Lord. But you know what? Part of being a parent is we have to change what we need to help our kids feel like they can talk. And because I did that, I remember my daughter came home and said, Dad, I said a cuss word at school. You know, and she was all freaked out about it. But I think if I didn't start listening to her, she never would have came and even told me that in the beginning. So it's important that we care as much about their struggles as their salvation.
Yes.
And then thirdly, your child needs you to answer the questions they're asking. Sometimes they ask us stuff, we're like, you know what, we'll talk about it later. Or they ask you something and say, oh, don't worry about that, just go on about your business. My daughter came to me and said, who's Kim McKee? I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go. So I sat down, we had a conversation about the whole thing. You know, it could have been a lot easier to say, that was in the past. You need to just move on, press on toward the goal. You know, you need to kind of get spiritual about things. But you know what? They need to know what's going on and have some understanding of things. But too many times, because we're tired or don't feel like it, we just brush them off. We gotta answer those questions. If you don't, the world's gonna answer the questions for you. So do you want them to know the truth, or do you want them to know what the internet says? It's a complete lie about just about everything on earth. Number four, your children need to see God as more than rules and church attendance. You know what? Again, when Barnabas and Saul, when they were preaching in Antioch, and they saw them and said, look at those Christians, because they represented, they reflected Christ. They were first called Christians in Antioch. They need to be able to look at us and say, you know what? They're acting and living like Jesus. It's not just, oh, they go to church. And because they go to church, they're Christians. No, no, no. They need to see it in our lives. They need to see what we're talking about, and not just because of church attendance. We go every Sunday and every Wednesday or Tuesday and then mission team, so we're Christians. We don't want our kids to think just because you go to church, you're a Christian.
Yeah. Right.
That's not it. Especially when they study the Bible and see that's not it. They'll be like, well, that's what mom and dad live like. We got to give them a right example. And then fifthly and finally, they need to live in a spiritual home. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children, it will be a refuge. It is important for us to remember that. Now put that on Proverbs 20, 21. I think that's on your list there. Even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. So many times we think it's too early. It's never too early to start with our kids. Even a child is known by his actions. Well, it's too late. My kid is 16 years old. That's not too late. You still can start working on these things. So the issue is, okay, now we're starting to get some things. Are we going to put these things into practice? And a lot of it comes back to what are we going to change. But I do want to encourage you to take a look at these parenting styles. Again, these are four. There's probably millions of parenting styles. But these are the top four that scientists have seen in our culture today that's existing. And the permissive one is increasing more and more. But I want to encourage you to look at it and have a good, realistic, healthy conversation. What style of parenting do I have? And listen to the input. If you don't feel comfortable having that discussion alone, pull somebody else in that knows you, that sees your kids, that's around your kids a lot. And then you let them know, hey, this is the style I think you have. And the truth shall set you free.
Come on.
So anyway, that's our first part we're going to talk about here.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.